The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
All right, let's talk about investment and money. Dan Niles Investor is buying two stocks in the wake of the Archegos meltdown. Can we learn anything from his picks? Now, given everybody's talking about a reopening rally, if it lasts for months, are there some clear retail stocks to consider in terms of possible buys? Also, you may have read about Grab listing on the New York Stock Exchange via a mega SPAC merger. We run through what SPACs mean for investors, really. And then we take a look at the Chinese stock market, down nearly 20% since February. Are there cheap investment opportunities given this context? Well, we'll put those questions to Swapnil Mishra, Head of Private Wealth over at Crystal AI. How are you doing this Friday, Swapnil?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am doing good. Good to speak with you again. Let's start with Grab. So, big news, Grab Holdings exploring going public through in the US through a merger with a blank check company. Is that you playing a playlist, Swapnil?
No, that's not me.
That's not you. Okay, that's my phone that just came on all by itself. I thought it was Swapnil. Every time he comes on the show, we incorporate music as well, and I thought he started things off earlier. Okay, I managed to scare myself on my own show. That's when you know the weekend's upon us. All right, so Grab Holdings, going public. JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, they're already advising Grab on its IPO plans. They're working with the startup to identify the special purpose acquisition shell companies that Grab could combine with. This means a fast track to a listing, but a listing via traditional IPO isn't off the table. So what do you make of this news? And more broadly, perhaps, what do you think investors need to understand about SPACs?
Got it. I mean, this is hot news for sure. I think the instant reaction that I had was, of course, going to US via SPAC or a traditional IPO. I mean, we are all living here in Singapore, so I did feel that for a moment that I wish the listing was happening in Singapore.
Yeah.
So I think that is, you know, at some stage, you know, we'll be waiting for that moment where your unicorns in this part of the world also have the, you know, faith in the depth of the market and start listing here. So I think that's one thing. Now, when it comes to the listing in US or, I mean, either a traditional route or a SPAC route, as you said, I think the time element is a very big component. So definitely the fact that this can be done fast track is, I think, one of the biggest motivations. I mean, they've been doing this for 9 years. They've done multiple rounds of funding. So for Grab, at least some kind of an IPO is definitely that what they're looking for. And I wouldn't call it a victory for SPAC yet. I mean, the negotiations have started. They're going to talk to even, you know, I'm sure they've not ruled out the traditional route as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the very fact that the biggest SPAC deal is being considered, so, you know, the numbers that they're talking about, I think it shows that the SPAC as an option is a mainstream option now. That, I think, is clearly established.
All right.
And for investors, I think there will be, you know, we'll have to understand what SPAC means, how do you participate, what are black check companies. So, I mean, you know, almost like a master class on, on SPAC.
That's what I was hoping you'd give us, Swapnil, just to put you on the spot. That's what we were aiming for. So, I mean, what does this mean? We know that, you know, the SPACs have to have a rush for sponsors, right?
Yes. And it's almost like a backdoor entry. So, or the other term that is used is blank check companies. Now, blank check, the reason it says is, so if you take, let's take the specific example. Grab is in talks with Altimeter, which is one of the SPACs that they're talking to. Altimeter has already raised money a few months back. They, in fact, had an upsize as well. So here you have a situation where there is a company or a SPAC, which is just a, it's, think of it like a box which has nothing inside it, and it's just going around collecting and saying, everyone put $10 each in it, and I will use all of this money tomorrow or in the next 2 years to acquire a company. And when I acquire that company, you will be able to, basically the new company and this the existing box in which I'm collecting will merge. So you are giving the $10 to this empty company because you believe that the manager or the sponsor of this company is going to acquire something which is going to be of value. And the sponsor won't make money till everyone makes money, so there is alignment of interest.
So what if there's no deal?
Then
they acquire the business. Then what happens to investors' money?
So two years is the maximum time that they give. In 2 years, if they don't acquire, then the money goes back to the investor.
You redeem your capital.
You redeem your capital. And if you're not happy with the deal also, it gives you the option that you may say that, you know what, I don't like this acquisition, I am out. Now, that doesn't mean that people want to, they are going in because of that choice. I mean, it makes it, you know, it's like an exit. So exit option is there. But the reason people are going in is because there is a belief that the sponsor will be able to do a very, very strong and a good acquisition. And they rely on that person's ability to do the due diligence and scrutiny. Unlike when it comes to the a traditional IPO, where we rely on the brokers, the underwriters, the entire intermediaries who are going to do the due diligence, so that when the stock comes for listing, you have some information on the basis of which you decide that, okay, I like this company, so I'm going to invest $10 in it. In this case, it's not the same, right? You're giving the money first, and then they are going to do the due diligence.
So is there inherent risk of investing in a shell company?
I would say in this case, the inherent risk is mitigated because you can always take the money back and say that, you know, I'm not interested. So the fact that they... So I think two specific things mitigate the risk for investors. One is the timing of when you give the money. Two, the fact that there's a two-year window, which means they can't sit indefinitely with your money. They can only sit on it for 2 years. In 2 years, if they don't find a deal, then they will give it back. And in the current environment where SPAC as a trend is picking up, finding deals, look at this way. If Grab is considering SPAC, that means for the next round of raising of money that any SPAC company does, the level of confidence is going to be higher because the deals are coming through.
Okay, got it.
So the risk is lesser as credibility improves. It's not some fly-by-night operator who's coming in saying, give me the money and I will buy in another company in the next 2 years.
So we know that, bring it back home, SGX has launched a consultation on SPACs, right? And it's looking to address some of the risks posed by the listing structure. And it says some of these would be some sort of framework to reduce the risk of excessive dilution for long-term investors. Now, what does that mean?
So here, dilution is because one of the conditions in SPAC is that what they call the founder's portion. So the sponsor of that the SPAC gets 20% of the shares at 0.02. So in other words, the equity holding for the remaining 80% gets diluted because of paying for the sponsor. That's how the sponsor makes kind of the money. So this dilution is one thing which is a cause of concern. The understanding or the reason people are happy with that is if there is no reward for the sponsor, then they will not be looking for the best deal for you. And so you are happy for that. You're okay with that dilution because you believe that the deal will be so good that you will more than make up for what you have diluted. So like in case of Nikola, the stock went up to almost, I think, $30. And that's the value which is created because they are identifying companies which are valuable.
All right. Thank you for our tour through SPACs. Swapnil Mishra, Head of Private Wealth at Crystal AI. Let's do a detour now and make our way to China. The Chinese stock market down nearly 20% since February. Some say the Chinese tech stock collapse represents a definite buying opportunity. What do you think, China? What do you think, Swapnil? Are there cheap investment opportunities in the Chinese stock market?
I mean, I have personally been a firm believer of China as an allocation in portfolio. And I would say that this correction, completely agree, I feel it is an opportunity. And a couple of reasons for that, but I would say the key point is it's an opportunity to enter because we've got a decent correction. You know, we've got almost a 20% correction in the equities, and some of them are really good companies. I mean, if you see, you know, things like Baidu and Tencent, these are good businesses. The reason the market has corrected is, I guess, one big factor is the sentiment, driven by the whole, you know, tightening of the financial conditions that we are seeing from the, and the second, of course, is the regulatory scrutiny. So these have been a big negative factor, combined, of course, with the global kind of a, you know, slowdown that had happened in the equity market after the January rally. So the two factors together have resulted in this correction. But I feel it's a very good opportunity to pick up some good stocks that are available now.
Based on longer term uptrends, you see, if we look at Tencent Holdings, though, we know that, you know, one of its biggest investors has cashed out Prosus, raising some 14.6 billion, selling stock in Tencent. So cashing in on, you know, its bet on Tencent Holdings. What do you think this means for how Tencent is likely to do in the short term?
In the short term, definitely, because of the selling pressure, it will take some time for it to settle down. Mm. But having consolidated, these are good companies, whether it's Alibaba, whether it's Tencent, whether it's Baidu, these are all strong companies with strong businesses. And they from a long-term perspective, they need to be part of any equity portfolio that is there. Even if you take, you know, your the electric vehicles itself as a segment, again, China is, you know, emerging as a leader. And one has to look at, you cannot afford to ignore this sector in terms of the, in your portfolio.
So Chinese tech stocks still looking good in your view, whether it's Tencent, yes. Baidu, iQIYI, Vipshop?
Yeah, I think they are good buys. And in fact, in some cases, they're a good value now.
All right. You don't see that there's a lesson there. We know that, you know, some of these tech stocks have been impacted by Archegos's unwinding. So because some of them, Tencent, Baidu, iQIYI, Vipshop, were holdings in an ETF, the CraneShares CSI China yeah. Internet ETF. And that was impacted by Archegos's unwinding. So do you think this is going to have a longer term impact, what we saw happen with Archegos on Chinese tech shares?
I think the impact will be shorter term. I don't consider this as a long term impact. Mm. And the reason for this is, one, the unwind because of the margin call that happened with the hedge fund yep. is an event that has happened. And in a way, the losses have been crystallized. So in hindsight, the best thing would have been to sell, you know, in end Jan and now buy, of course. So, you know, there are some people who may have been investing or holding these stocks through the correction. Mm. But if you have not been holding it, then definitely this is something which is an opportunity. Because after the unwind, mm-hmm. the price, obviously, there has been more selling than buying. And that is why the price is down. It's not down because there is a slowdown. It's not like we are in March last year where we are saying that things are looking quite bad.
Right.
So I would say the impact of a margin call is creating the opportunity for people who may not be holding the stock.
Interesting. And the CraneShares ETF I was talking about, KWEB, in context, it's up nearly 100% since the end of 2018. And this latest decline puts it down just 3% year to date. So just some context there. Let's look at reopening. What are you seeing from a reopening rally, and how are there retail stocks that could benefit from reopening rallies?
So I would say from a sector point of view, your you know, traditional sectors, banking, tourism, hotels, real estate, energy, commodities, oil, all of these sectors are going to be beneficiaries of the reopening that's happening. And I think the momentum for this reopening is also going to, it will gather steam in the next two quarters. So I would say this next few weeks are going to be crucial because the earnings announcements are going to come out and the forecast is going to come out. Mm-hmm. If it is positive, that bodes well for a quarter three. And you're already seeing that. You're seeing that in oil. You're seeing that in bank stocks. This interest which is coming back. If you see the Jets ETF, it has already rallied. I mean, it started rallying, you know, all the way from October onwards last year.
Mm.
But it's continuing because you're seeing that, you know, the bookings are coming back. You know, things, people are optimistic that with the sustained vaccination drive happening across the countries, right? So if you see whether it's India, whether it's US, whether it's, you know, UK, now Europe is also catching up. If everywhere we are able to see this, there is more positive forecast for the quarter three and quarter four. And I guess some of this will take away the limelight or the growth expectations that we have been used to with the tech stocks. So you won't make 100% on tech stocks this year because of this shift.
Okay. So you're looking at the rally to basically fizzle out by September or to keep throughout this year?
Well, if you read the Jamie Dimon's letter to his shareholder and
2025,
his
he said, right?
Exactly. So if I go by him, and he obviously knows a lot more. So he's saying this has just begun. 2023 or 2025. Yeah. So he thinks it's going for a long time. I mean, definitely. I think this rally has legs with the opening happening.
All right. So, best way to position ourselves, Swapnil, if it is a rally till 2025?
Diversify and rotate the sectors if you have not already done that. So that will be a tough one to sell your ARK ETF, which you may have made 100% last year.
Ooh, that's going to be hard, yeah.
It'll be hard because you won't. It'll be difficult to make another 100%. So we'll have to just get used to being happy with a 15-20% return.
Come back to reality.
Absolutely.
It is going to be difficult. All right. Can we learn anything from Sartori Fund founder Dan Niles? So he's buying, taking advantage of the Archegos meltdown, and he's buying two of the most beaten down names. So he told CNBC that he's buying up shares of Viacom, CBS and Baidu because both spiraled because of the forced liquidation of positions held by Archegos at family office. And he said, hey, these stocks got cut in half from their highs just a couple of months ago. And he thinks the business is good. You can make a case that there is close to 50% upside for both of their names from their lows, Viacom, CBS and Baidu. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a case of absolutely a case of value being available to buy. And this was steep correction. I mean, these were not like 15-20% correction. This was a massive sell-off. I mean, the hedge fund is basically saying, sell at any price, I don't care. And obviously, when there is distress selling that is happening, it is an opportunity for people who have, you know, the kind of money. So, like, for example, I bought Baidu. Of course, my buying doesn't make headlines the way it does for Dan Niles. But
it should.
But buying a value is something which is, I think, it's a smart strategy. Especially if you have the appetite to hold on to it, because sometimes it may not just bounce back overnight. So you may take time for more buyers to come in and say that, okay, this is over, no more margin call pressure, selling is over, and then the stock kind of resets itself and goes back to the normal growth movement.
Okay. In the perennial hunt for value, did you look at what else is impacted by Archegos's forced liquidation?
I think Discovery was the other one, so which was also down about 40-50%. So that's also something which is, yeah. So, I mean, of course, some are obvious ones because a lot of people have been tracking, mind you, right? For Baidu, for example, people were waiting. It was already kind of struggling. And then, of course, when this happened, it was like a window of opportunity. Having said that, it doesn't mean it is free money. It just means that you're able to buy something at a price which is less than what it was a few weeks back.
It's on sale, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Swapnil, my phone was so excited when you came on that it started to play its own playlist in anticipation of your playlist. Swapnil, what do you think we should be listening to that reflects today's market?
I can think of, because you started with Grab and SPAC, I would say Queen's Number, Another One Bites the Dust.
That's a good one, Swapnil. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.